Romans chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to read the whole chapter and preach for just a little while. And I want to preach on having a thought of living a new life. Living a new life. And you'll see as we read this what Paul's trying to tell us here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Now, let me park right here for just a second and read that verse one more time. He said, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Did you catch that? I'm not going to preach on that today, but he said you're made free, but when you got made free from sin, you become the servant to righteousness. You shackled yourself to righteousness is what you done. Verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, ye become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the good Lord's day that you've given us so far. And Lord, I pray that you is honored in the singing today. And Lord, I pray folk got help that needed help so far. And Lord, we just pray that you'd touch them and help them. But if there's somebody here today that is lost, that has never trusted you, I pray they'd get saved today. Lord, we know it's your will to save sinners. You told us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And Lord, we know you want to save folk. And so if there's one in our midst that's never trusted you, I pray they'd get saved today. And Lord, we ask and pray for the one that might need a little help, that just needs some direction, some encouragement out of the Word of God to be able to do the will of God. I pray that you would help them this morning. And Lord, we do pray that you'd help Sister Janice. And I pray that you'd touch her and help her this morning, keep her healthy, Lord, and that till she has that surgery. And I pray everything goes good. And Lord, as that cancer comes out, that there's no other there. But Lord, we just ask for help this morning. And I pray you'd touch and anoint afresh. We love you and we thank you. Help somebody that needs help for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Romans chapter 6, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, as he is telling them that they no longer have to live in sin, or they no longer have to live to sin. Now, there is a lot of people. I'll say some people. I won't use the word a lot. There is some that feels like that in Romans chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul says, where he talks about the good that I would do, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. And they use that as their excuse and that to sin. I believe the Apostle Paul was really trying to teach us, especially in Romans 6, 7, and 8, he was trying to teach us that we do not have to sin. I do know that we are in the flesh. I understand now. I know that we're going to mess up. I mean, what did he say over here in Little John? I believe it is. In Little John, in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we are going to mess up, but don't make excuse for it and don't make plans for it. I think that we ought to, and that strive, to try to live in righteousness and holiness. Say amen right there. Let me say that again. I believe that we should strive to live in righteousness and holiness. Amen, preacher. I believe that's what we need to work toward. But as we look at the examples, and when Brother Jeff started his Sunday school lesson this morning out of the book of Colossians, I thought, well, he's going to teach my message this morning here in Sunday school. But in Romans, he talks about right here, he said as he talks about baptism, being baptized into Christ and baptized into his death. I don't believe this is really water. I do believe in water baptism, but it can't save you. But I believe as he's talking about this right here, that's what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all been made to drink under one Spirit. And I believe the Lord takes one Spirit and he baptizes us into the body of Christ and makes us part of the body. But he uses that baptism as an example. As the old man is submerged and that under the water. And as Christ went into the tomb over there outside of Jerusalem, just as sure as he went in, 3 days later he come out. And as the old man is brought back forth, we see that there is a new man. And so he talks about in verse 4, he says, even so we also, as we have been raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, when you got saved, there was something new about you. There was something different about you. Let me say, first of all, I'm not going to have much of an introduction, so we'll move on. Number one, salvation makes us new. You know, when you got saved, something had to change on the inside of you. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so when you got saved, you got created, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Would you agree to that? Listen, Jesus didn't lead you the way that he found you. Listen, any sinner that he ever found in Scripture, they were made different when they come to know Christ. Was Zacchaeus not different when he met Jesus over there up there in the sycamore tree? You know, he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down, for I'm going home to your house today. And you know, Zacchaeus was looking for something. You know, because he ran ahead of the crowd, and he ran ahead of Jesus, and he crawled up in that sycamore tree simply because he was short and he wanted to see you. Hey, I'm telling you, these folk needing to see Christ today, they're looking for something that'll make them different. And you know what? He even had different actions after he met Jesus. Zacchaeus was a thief, if you'd let me say that. He was a tax collector. He had sold his Jewish people out and out to Rome, and he was taking more money than he ought to have been taken. But the Bible said he was rich. Let me say, if you get rich being a tax collector, you're ripping somebody off. Amen. And so when he met Jesus, it changed his whole world. Did it not change your whole world when you met Jesus Christ the Lord? Hey, listen, this morning the Bible said in John chapter 12, Jesus did, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat I fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit." Hey, I'm telling you, when I got saved, I had to die that night at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. My old man died while I was on the altar, and Christ came in and gave me life and made me new on the inside. And when you got saved, the same thing happened to you. You got birthed into the family of God. John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said unto Nicodemus over there, "Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again." Listen this morning, why do you think that saved people, why do you think that they had peace and joy and happiness and comfort on the inside? What you don't have this morning. You know, lost people, they don't have peace, joy. You know why I don't worry about what's going on up in Washington? Oh, we get wound up and we know that they're headed in a socialist and a communistic way of doing things. We understand all that. But you got to understand, I still believe and still know in the depths of my heart that God is still in control. Listen, I'm not putting my faith in what they're doing up there. I'm putting my faith in Christ Jesus the Lord to see me through. When I got saved, there was a new life began. I'd grown up in church all my life. And listen, all I had was religion. All I had was religion. It was hard to go to church. It was hard to want to go to church. I mean, listen, Sunday school was boring and dull. I listened to what the preacher said. I was doing anything else. I listened to what the preacher had to preach. I listened. I didn't care what he had to say. Why? I was lost. I didn't care. Didn't matter to me. And it didn't matter how many people told me I ought to care. And it didn't matter how many people said you ought to do better and try harder. And boy, I could see where I was headed down the wrong way. I was just as 14 years old when I got saved. And I was headed down the wrong path. And I'm telling you, I'm glad that Jesus snatched me up that night. Amen. Some of you all were down the wrong path when Christ found you. But newness, he said, once you get saved, you walk in newness of life. Let me put my glasses on here while I can see what's going on. Newness of life. You know, something new ain't old, is it? It's new, ain't it? Listen, you know that I don't have the old life anymore. I'm going to deal with him in just a second, the old life. But I want you to understand something. When you get saved, you get created anew. You do get that. Listen, he talked about over here, he said when we died, he said in verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." You realize when I died out that night, when my old man died on that cross or on that altar, however you want to look at it, because he talks about this over here. He talks about being crucified with Christ. He talks about being planted in his likeness of death. Listen, that's what happened the night that I got saved. The day that you got saved, you got planted in the likeness of his death. There's no any other way to look at it. But you know what? When I got saved, when I died, I got freed from sin. I got freed from the penalty of sin. You realize penalty or sin carries a penalty this morning. You didn't ask to be a sinner. You didn't want to be a sinner, but you was birthed a sinner. Why do you think Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again"? I was talking to a fellow the other day and he said, as smart as Nicodemus was, Nicodemus asked one of the dumbest questions in the Bible. He asked Jesus, he said, "So then can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time?" That's not what Jesus is talking about. Listen, we were born sinners. You have to understand that. Psalms 51, David said, "In sin did my mother," he said, "I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 3 said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You come down here in Romans 6:23. He said, "For the wages of sin is death." Do you realize that when a person gets saved, they get free from the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is death and judgment. No wonder people are unhappy today. If they really realize what they were facing. I remember the night that I got saved. I think God turned something on in my heart. Showed me that I was lost and I knew that the penalty of sin was against me. It was against me. The penalty of sin, I mean the wages of sin is death. Death was chasing me down. He said, "Well, everybody dies." They do. But it's in how you die is what matters. So that night, the wage of sin caught me that night. But you know what? It showed me that I was going to die. But boy, I was glad God showed me that I could have life and have it new in Him. I could have a new life. Well, some people don't think they can have a new life in this world, but you sure can. Well, if you're looking for something different than what you've got now, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will make all the difference in the world. So he talks about dying. He says you die out, and listen, you die to the penalty of sin, and you're freed from sin, and you're not only freed from the penalty of sin, but I mean from the power of sin. Listen, it no longer has to rule you and control you and be in your life. If we go back to what Brother Jeff read this morning in Sunday school in Colossians chapter 2, he said, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible, because it says you're complete in Him. You know what that means? You don't need anything else. When something's complete, it's complete. Amen? You're complete in Him. It's in Him. I mean, he comes on to say, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision, made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Listen, when I got saved, God performed an operation that night, and He cut me loose from my old man, and I'm no longer tethered to Him anymore. Listen, that's the circumcision that he's talking about. That circumcision without hands and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Listen, my old man is still hanging around, but he don't control me anymore. See, if you're lost, your flesh can... Oh, no, I can control... No, no, you can't. No, if you go over to the book of 2 Timothy over there, it says that Satan can take you captive at his will. Let's go over and look at that. Do you believe that? Oh, well, I ain't a servant of Satan. Take your Bible. Is it 2 Timothy? I believe it's 2 Timothy. Let me see if I can find this. Look in... go back to verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll get to the message in just a second. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He's talking about lost people right there. And he says, look, he said, if they will come to the repentance, we'll give them to the repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, that they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, notice what he said, who are taken captive by him at his will. A lot of people don't want to think that somebody else can control them or has captive of them, but he does. And so, we find that when we got saved, the old man had to die. And so he talks about in verse 6, and here's what I really want to deal with this morning, which is number 2, is he talks about walking in the newness of life. Is that where I need to be, verse 6? Oh, verse 4, excuse me. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. To make that simple, I guess, this morning, to say that we should walk in newness of life is that if you're saved and you've been made different, then you should act like you're saved and act like you're different. Now, let me say this, that will only play out so long if you're unsaved. An unsaved person can only be religious for so long. An unsaved person can only act right for so long before that flesh rises up on them and it wants to get its better of them. What I'm trying to tell you is some people have problems and I've got to be very careful right here, because as I go on, I want you to understand that we're still dragging our flesh around with us. But a lot of people, they have a problem with their flesh simply because they never got saved and their flesh never died. They've never give up. I mean, they might have made a profession. They might have come to an altar. They might have cried. They might have got baptized. I mean, there might have been a million different things they've done. But let me say this. If you never trusted Christ to save your soul, you didn't get saved. And that's what makes all the difference. But then, when He saves us, He puts a desire inside of us to make us want to walk different. He said, even so, He said, therefore we are buried with Him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We ought to, listen, there's something different about you when you got saved, and so we ought to walk different. Listen, we come down to verse 12, and He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So when we got saved, there was something new about us. But then we ought to walk like there's something new about us. A lot of people want to get saved and then keep on doing the same thing. Paul said, let not sin therefore reign. You know what the word reign means? It means to have control over. It means to rule or to prevail or to exercise sovereign power or authority. So when we got saved, when we were baptized into His death, and we were brought forth, and we were made a new creature in Christ, then we should walk like we are a new creature in Christ. So as we walk like there is a new creature, boy, it's shouting time, ain't it? Just dawned on me, boy, we're going to shout it down this morning. You know, every time I sit in my study and I study anything, and I could study on hell, fire, and damnation and brimstone and fire, and I'd still think we ought to be shouting it down. Amen. We ain't going there, are we? Amen. Got saved from that stuff. We ought to be shouting. That's where I was going, but I ain't going there now. Amen. I got saved from it. Listen. He said, let not sin. He said, neither yield ye your men. You know what that means? That means that's something for you to do. A lot of people, they have an idea. Well, I'm saved, and yeah, I've preached on this before. I'm not telling you anything new. But listen, they have an idea that I'm saved, and God will change me, and I am the way that I am, and I'm going to be the way that I am. Listen, it's you to make you in what you need to be. A lot of people, their attitude in Christianity is sorry. Let me give you an example. Take your Bible and let's just get over here with it. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. If I'm going to call somebody sorry, I guess I better show you why. Ephesians chapter 4. As he is talking about the Gentiles right here, if you back up in the middle part of the chapter, he wants us not to be like the other Gentiles who are past feeling, they're in the blindness of their heart. He said in verse 20, we've not so learned Christ, so that we've been taught by Him. But in verse 22, he said that what? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let me park right here. Yeah, I've preached on this, and probably, what, 4 or 5 months ago, I preached on them scriptures right there. But I'll say it again. I struggled with those verses for such a long time. I did, because in contrast to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then you look at this right here, and the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians say the same thing, to put off the old man and put on the new man. You know, Christ changed us on the outside. Did you know that it is up to us to change us on the outside? Christ changed us on the inside. Did I say that wrong? I did, didn't I? After I said it, I caught it. Christ changed us on the inside, and it's up to us with His help to change us on the outside. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Amen? I mean, he makes a difference on the inside. And listen, the reason we want to change our outside is to please the one who's on the inside. He said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. He said, neither yield ye your members unto unrighteousness. And then he comes over and he says, put off. And then he says, put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we do that by verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So when I let not sin reign in my mortal body, and I what? And neither yield my members' instruments to unrighteousness. Now I was talking about being sorry. There is a lot of people after they get saved still want to live in bitterness and still want to live in malice of the old life. If they held a grudge in the old life, they still want to hold a grudge in the new life. Some people, even after they get saved, somebody hurts their feelings. And they may have, you know, I don't want to make light of people getting hurt. Because people do get hurt. You know, when somebody puts their whole heart into something, and then somebody just comes by and stabs them in the back or stomps on their heart or whatever, it does hurt. It does hurt. I mean, listen, preachers, they get battle-hardened and work-hardened so much that people think that nothing affects them. A feller told me one time, he said, son, you need to keep everybody at broom handle length. If I kept everybody at broom handle length, I'd never have a friend in the world. I'd never get hurt, but I'd never have a friend in the world. If I kept everybody at broom handle length. That ain't the way that you handle that situation. By the way, people are going to hurt you along the way. People's going to let you down. They're going to make you wonder why, what happened. Listen, folk in this church has hurt me. Listen, but you know what? I'm here to serve the Lord. I don't want you to hurt me. And you know, over the years, I might have hurt some folk. And listen, I don't want to do that. I know what it means to be hurt. I don't want to hurt nobody. But some people, they live as the old man. Do you realize that you can get saved? And here's some things that I don't understand, okay? I don't understand it. The old man dies, but yet you're dragging him around with you. And you're dragging around some of his tendencies that you've got to do away with every day. He's dead. You know, but the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians over there, I believe it is. Take your Bible and go to Colossians and hold your finger in Ephesians. Because I'm probably going to come back to both of these. I hope I'm making sense to y'all this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, talking about being dead, right? But if we're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What are we looking for? If we're saved, if we're alive, what are we seeking? He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What do we love? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're dead in Christ. When God sees us, He sees Christ. When God sees us, He sees His blessed Son. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We're leaving out of here. But look in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. How many of you know what the word mortify means? How many of you have ever said, your children have ever done anything, and you said, oh, I'm just mortified that they done that. Jerenee, I bet your mama has said that about you a time or two. I can say that about Sis. She's my niece. Mortified. It's mortified that they've done that. You know what that means? Mortify means to, literally it means to make dead. It could have killed me. I could have just died, but they've done that. That's what you're saying when you say it mortified me. I could have just died. Mortify not only means to die, but it means to subdue or bring into subjection. So he says, mortify therefore your members. What are we talking about, our members? This thing. Mortify, make this thing dead. Make this thing, bring it into subjection and into rule. Mortify there your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, by the way, which is lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children disobedient, in the which ye also walked sometime when you what? Lived in them, but now ye also put off. Boy, where have we seen put off at? All these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication, out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off who? Who? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the who? New man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, there that word is again, put on. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, and above all these things, put on, there it is, charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called into one body, and be ye thankful. And then he goes on to say, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. So when we get saved, we are created new in Christ. But then we are to walk like we're new in Christ. He said in Romans 6, he said what? Walk in newness of life. He said, let not sin reign in your mortal body, neither you. That's your decision. I guess that's all I'm trying to get us to see this morning. It's our decision. It's our decision to live holy. It's our decision to live right. It's our decision to live unholy or to live not right. How do you know? Well, go back to Romans 6. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, don't yield your members as instruments to unrighteousness. You know what that tells me? If he encourages us and tells us not to yield to unrighteousness, that tells me we can yield to unrighteousness. You know what the word yield means? Surely y'all know, most of you are of driving age. You better learn what a yield sign is, son. It means go faster. Same as an orange light, ain't it? Speed up and get in a hurry. That's right. That means to stop or to concede to. When you yield the right of way while you're driving, that means you give the right of way to somebody else. You know, you got a triangular sign, it says yield on it. That don't mean you have to stop. That means you look and you hurry up. That's right. You try to beat traffic. Literally, it means to concede to or give the right away to somebody else. So who are we yielding ourselves to this morning? Who do we yield to? Do we yield to the old man who is created in unrighteousness? Or do we yield to the new man who is created after righteousness and holiness unto God? I think that's what Paul was trying to get the church at Rome to see. He says, I want you to walk in newness of life. I like walking like I'm saved. Are you putting on a show? No. I'm just trying to please Him that called me to be a servant. I'm trying to please Him who freed me from sin. A lot of people think they have their flesh subdued. And I hope that you do. And we can get our flesh subdued. Let me ask you, you say, well, preacher, I don't have a problem with my flesh. You let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Anytime that you think that you've got this thing conquered, it'll rise up on you. I have not smoked in years. Years. But every now and again, when I get around them boys, and I was around, we were all standing around a truck bed the other day. I've been doing a little electrical job. We'd been digging in the dirt, and I was tarred, and I was give out, and I was leaned up on the truck bed, and there's about two or three other boys, and they're all smoking. Don't ever start that mess. It's hard to quit. But you know, my old flesh, right up while they're all standing, it looked awful good. If you ain't never smoked, y'all don't understand that. And be thankful that you don't have that problem. But every now and again, my old flesh will rire up, and it'll say, "Boy, that looks so good." But you know what? I'd rather please Him who hath called me to be a servant and who freed me from sin. I've told you the story many times. I've not had a dip of snuff since I was probably 17 years old. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you a story this morning. By the way, you shouldn't be doing that. It's hard on you. It's bad on your testimony too, by the way. It's hard on your health. But I remember we went and ate lunch. And I hadn't had a dip of snuff since I was 17 years old. And we went and ate lunch and had a greasy old hamburger. I got out of the truck. And my feet hit the ground. I walked around the back of the truck. And about halfway around by that tailgate, I thought, boy, a pinch of snuff would taste pretty good right now. And I was probably in my early 30s. Early to late 30s. You see how that stuff just jumps up on you right there? Something that you think that he's gone and took care of and that you've got conquered and you might have it conquered. But you know what? Every now and again, that old man, he'll try to. That them old desires, they'll sneak back up on you. And they'll try to get back in again. So what do we do? He says for us not to yield. He says for us not to do that. He says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That means it does not have to rule us or control us. Listen, 1 John put it like this. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sin is deceitful. Sin is lustful. Sin is all drawing. But don't it want to draw you? But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I want to live for him because he made me new. I want to mortify my flesh. I want to live different than the world does. Listen, I don't want bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. You say, do you just let that stuff go? Yes. That's what you do. You say, well, I'm mad at them. And I'm not going to let it go. Then you know what? You're going to be in bitterness and wrath and malice the rest of your life in. And if you just don't turn it loose and let it go, you mean I got to be the bigger person? Don't that make me weak, preacher? Could not have Christ done whatever he wanted to do when he went to Calvary. Could not have Christ, you know, the songwriter wrote it, and I believe it's the truth. Could he not have called down 10,000 angels? You know, when you learn to love your neighbor and you learn to love God as yourself, and your neighbor as yourself, don't love God as yourself. You love God for who he is. About to mess up again, Brother Jim. When you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you learn how to turn some things loose. You learn how to be kind one to another, tender-hearted and forgiving one another. You learn how to put stuff off and put on the right man, put on the new man. It is to serve the Lord that gave us this new life is why we do that. If we go back to the text scripture, and I'm going to close. When we look at verses 16, he said, "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." It is simply because I have been made free and I'm no longer a servant to sin, I'm no longer in my sin, that friend, that I want to serve Him. And not only that, but He has been so good to me. Now listen, I want to have a testimony that pleases Him and that He's pleased with me. Whoever you yield to is who you're serving. So let me ask you, are you serving the old man who is in unrighteousness and in unholiness, if that's a word? Are you serving the new man, which is created after Christ in righteousness and holiness this morning? We are dead in Christ, but yet Paul, the Apostle Paul said, "I die daily," but yet we're dying daily unto the old man. I don't understand all that, but I know that's what has to happen. Let's bow our heads this morning. We get just a little music, our brother Jeff. Who are you serving this morning? You serving the old man or the new man? You may be serving the old man because you're lost and you're unsaved. You don't have a new man. And I encourage you to come and get saved this morning. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much, He made a way for you to get saved. You say, "Preacher, if I come and get saved, I can't live that life." You're right, you can't live that life. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He can help you live that life.